Brothers and sisters, I have the opportunity this weekend and next weekend to preach at all the masses, so I'm going to do a two-part homily. Today I'm just going to kind of introduce to you what I really want us to think about in the week ahead, and then we'll get more into the meat and potatoes of next week. But I think it's important for us to begin this homily today by realizing the power of words and how important it is that we understand just how powerful words are. Let me give you a quick example. Pretend I'm coaching a team. Okay, let's pretend I'm coaching the Pittsburgh Steelers today as they play the New England Patriots. And I'm Mike Tomlin, I'm the coach. And so as we're ready to go, we're ready to take the field, we're ready for kickoff. I'm all excited and I'm trying to pump my team up and I say, okay, guys, let's go out and clean their clock. Now, if you're from another country, how do you think that would sound, clean their clock? You might think, what is that? Am I supposed to go to their house and clean their clock? No, it means, what's it mean? Let's go beat them. Okay, here's another one. This is one I'll come back to from time to time. Think about this. How do you think this sounds? Hit the shower. Punch it? No, when parents tell their children, hit the shower, it means go take a shower. Power of words. Now, today, Jesus says this, repent for the kingdom of God is at hand. People, when you hear those words, some people could say this, Jesus Christ is the greatest liar we've ever known. He completely lied. Because listen to what it says, repent for the kingdom of God is at hand. The kingdom of God is near. And you may say, well, for people, and we hear this even in the scriptures, people thought Jesus was going to come in their lifetime, he didn't. Didn't come in their children's lifetime, didn't come 500 years later, didn't come 2,000 years, we're still waiting. And you know what you could say? Jesus Christ is the greatest liar we've ever known. So how do you get out of that pickle? People, it gets into the idea of understanding words. Here's the way you explain it. People, if you actually pull out the original Bible in Greek, and you read the phrase, repent, the kingdom of God is at hand, it is translated as near, but here's the interesting thing. It isn't about the idea of near in time. It is about near in distance. The kingdom of God is at hand isn't about time. It isn't Jesus saying, I will be here in 1 year, 10 years, 500 years, 2,000 years. What it says is this, I am near, I am close, I'm not distant. That's true. I mean, after all, when he said this in the gospel of today, he was preaching to people. Okay, the incarnation, he came down from heaven and he addressed the people. Isn't that what we believe? Jesus tells us, where two or more gathered, I'm in their midst. He's here. The tabernacle, we have a light by it because we believe body, blood, soul, divinity, Jesus Christ is near. That's what it means, not time. It's about distance, and he is close. And what does he tell us? I am close, and being close, all I want you to do is one thing, repent. Acknowledge you need me, you're a sinner, and believe that as a sinner, I am near. Okay, now, when we hear that, we have to understand that when Jesus says he is near, remember, not time, now distance. Close at hand. It doesn't mean, everyone, that life would be a picnic. I'm reading a book right now, everyone. Just got it done last night. It's called Peter Kreeft in his book, Making Choices, Practical Wisdom for Everyday Moral Decisions. It's a pretty heavy book, everyone, but it's fascinating in one aspect of this. Peter Kreeft goes back to the 19th century and reminds people that at the end of the 19th century, people look forward to the 20th century as the greatest century we would ever experience, the best. And he looked at it from the standpoint of three things, and here they are, ignorance, war, and poverty. Okay, those three things. The end of the 19th century, looking ahead to the next century, would be the best on the basis of ignorance, poverty, and war. Let's look at all three. Peter Kreeft helps us in this. Ignorance. Ignorance was the understanding at the end of the 19th century we would be a humanistic people. In other words, we would have a tremendous respect for all people and all life. And look at what happened in the 20th century. We think about everyone, abortion. We think about suicide. It's just staggering everyone. But if I was to ask you, do you know what the greatest killer of human beings was in the 20th century? Outside of natural death, you know what it was? Get this. Genocide. Genocide. What is it? Genocide is this. I'm a political leader of a country like Adolf Hitler. Okay, and I believe that for my country to succeed, I need to eliminate certain people. Okay? So I wipe out 6 million Jews. Wipe them out. Because I believe they stand in the way of what I believe. Systematic elimination of ethnic groups, cultures, countries. In the 20th century, non-exhaustive, genocide affected the Armenians, the Jews, the Chinese, Russians, Cambodians, homosexuals, gypsies, and priests. How many people died by genocide in the 20th century? Get this, over 100 million people. 100 million people. All because I believe that I need to eliminate you. Can you imagine how the blood of those innocent people call out to God? 100 million. What's our country? 300 million? One third gone. Just pretend, everyone, one century, one third of this church completely gone. Okay. Two, war. Now, people in the 19th century, people were familiar with the idea of one nation fighting against another. We were. You know, we battled the British, everyone, in the Revolutionary War, war for our independence. They were even familiar, everyone, with fighting within a country. We did that, too, in the 19th century. We called it the Great Civil War. But you know what? The 20th century brought on something that was new. And you know what it was? World War. World War. Nation and nation and nation after nation, all fighting in the same war. And how many did we have in the 20th century? Two. Somebody said this. Somebody mentioned it might have been Einstein. I'm not sure, but this is what he said. I don't know what weapons they'll use in World War III, but I know the weapons they'll use in World War IV. Get this, sticks and stones. Meaning we will have destroyed and manipulated things to such a point that we will be back to the Stone Age. Think about atomic power. You know, if we use nuclear power, everyone, we'd be back to sticks and stones if we exist at all. Third thing, poverty. The 20th century, everyone, remember, propelling 19th of the 20th century, was supposed to be, everyone, the century that would hopefully deal with poverty, bring an end to it. What happened? It's fascinating, everyone, what happened in the 20th century. The middle class slowly almost became non-existent. The gap between the wealthy and the poor just became greater and greater. And if you were to lump the middle class any place, it certainly wouldn't have been with the upper class, the wealthy. It would have been lumped with the lower class. So I did a little study on poverty. This is what I learned. Get this. About 21,000 people die every day of hunger or hunger-related causes, according to the United Nations. This is one person every 4 seconds. Let's clock this out. Ready? One, two, three. One, two, three. One, two, three. 12 seconds, three dead. Hunger or hunger-related causes. That was just in 12 seconds. Okay, now for you children and youth, something for you to chew on. You may say, ah, Father, that was the 20th century. I wasn't alive. That's true. You want to know what's interesting? I did a little study here. Survey of high school principals in 1958 were asked this question, what are the main problems among your students? Here are the top five. One, not doing homework. Two, not respecting poverty, for example, throwing books. Number three, leaving lights on and doors and windows open. Number four, using spitballs in class. And number five, running through the halls. Okay, those are the top five, 1958. More recently, the same question was asked, and here's what the principals now face with high school students, top five. Get this. Abortion, AIDS, rape, drugs, and fear of violent death, murder, guns and knives in school. Wow, what a change. Now, people, I'm going to stop here. And like I said, I'm going to pick it up next week. If you can't be here next week, it's on our website. Just go to Resurrection website. We always record the Sunday only if you want to listen to part two of it. But I want to stop right here because it does give us some food for thought this week. I want you to ask yourselves two questions and talk about this amongst yourselves. Number one, what happened? What happened? And number two, is there hope? Do we see any hope? Okay. Something for you to chew on. And like I said, we'll pick it up again next week.